Last week, I pulled my car into the recycling center at the transfer station behind an SUV with a closed trailer in tow. A woman in her late 30s was standing at the back of the trailer, both hands clasping some release mechanism on the trailer's door. And with a shift of her arms, the door came swinging open with a trash bag and an empty bottle of whiskey, bigger than a large jug of milk, tumbling onto the ground. "That's one way to get your trash out," I joked. The woman smiled as she picked up the bag in one hand and clasped the neck of the whiskey bottle with the other. I would soon learn that it wasn't her trash at all, but her elderly mom's. She pointed the bottle at me and said, "You know, it used to be my mom who was always catching me for underage drinking." Whatever reality will come from this, it's starting to get hard for many people now. Our healthcare workers are being taxed to their limits. Many people in nursing homes and assisted care facilities are isolated and missing vital human contact. Some of you have been laid off while others have seen work opportunities dry up. Others need health care and are concerned about hospital access. And still others worry about getting the necessary supplies they'll need to get through this. And grandma has started drinking. It's all a bit overwhelming. But it's not just about what's going on the outside. Chances are there's a storm within that feels just as wild. You're on the edge. Things that didn't used to be scary are scary. And if you could experience a little calm and stability within, it would sure make everything else feel more tolerable. Is it possible to experience peace in these times? Last week we considered how, knowing our purpose, that God created us in His image to bring order out of chaos, can give us a sense of peace in the midst of trying times. Today, we're going to go beyond knowing. In the Apostle Paul's letter to the Philippians, he shares some unorthodox wisdom. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. In the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Probably some of the worst advice you could give to a worrier is to stop worrying. It seems like drawing attention to the worry itself only adds fuel to the fire. I suppose we could say the same thing about Paul's advice here. Don't be anxious about anything. Except he doesn't just tell us to stop doing something. He gives us something to replace it, presenting your requests to God. Somehow this very simple act is supposed to be the antidote to anxiety. The result of this, Paul says, is that the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. But how could such a simple act overcome such a powerful emotion? Before we consider why this solution makes sense, let's first take a look at where peace and anxiety come from. Peace comes from God. It is stated in no uncertain terms when Paul calls it the peace of God. That might not be surprising conceptually, but that may not be something we practice on a regular basis. That's because intuitively, whether we worry a lot or only when things get hard, we rely on understanding to get us out of a bind. Have you ever worried about a difficult conversation you had to have with a spouse or a friend and rolled it over and over in your head trying to cover every possible response so that you could come out with a win, only to find yourself saying, "I wish I would have said this or that." We anticipate difficult situations, and something in us goes over every possible outcome we can think of to produce the best possible reality. And we ought to be grateful for that part of us that loves to solve puzzles and finds ways out of problems. But ultimately, this understanding part of us only fuels worry because it keeps us focused on the challenge ahead and leaves us second-guessing. It won't relinquish its hand on the future to allow us to live in the present. So the understanding part of us constantly locks us in a battle for better outcomes tomorrow. Someone might counter, "I'll just rationalize my way out of the worry. I'll tell myself there's nothing to worry about and that should settle it. There is no boogeyman in the closet," we tell ourselves. "There's no monster under the bed." Have you seen any boogeyman? Have you seen monsters under the bed? Exactly. But wait, maybe no one has seen any of them because no one has lived to tell the story. We think we can rationalize our way out, But we can just as easily rationalize ourselves back into worry. There's always another bad thing that could happen. There's always another worrisome angle. And that's especially true in times like these. That's because there is a good chance that a year ago, not many expected something like this to happen. When our outlook of the future is based only on our experience of the world, new unsettling experiences shatter the power of our internal logic. As good and helpful and necessary as our understanding is, it can't by itself offer internal stability in unstable times. Peace comes from God, not from something inside of us. And that peace surpasses understanding. It's not only beyond our understanding, it meets our needs in ways that our understanding cannot. A teacher friend of mine, he used to have ghost-busting sessions with his young boy to get him to go to sleep. But one night, the ghost-busting sessions stopped working, and the dad said to his boy, "Son, that was just pretend. There is no such thing as ghosts." And then he went on into a lengthy discussion of the metaphysics of ghosts. But it was to no avail. Finally, his wife came in and said, "What's going on? He's supposed to be asleep. Let me take over." So my teacher left the room but stayed outside the door to listen. She crawled in bed with the boy and said, "I'm going to wrap you in my arms to protect you from the ghosts until you fall asleep." And within minutes, his eyelids grew heavy and he was out for the night. Something came to that boy that his internal understanding couldn't produce: a mother's embrace and a promise of protection. God's peace is a lot like that. It comes as a guard to keep all the bad things out, bad things like anxiety. That might be a surprise to some. Isn't anxiety something that comes from within us? Well, apparently not. If God's peace guards our hearts and minds from anxiety, anxiety is an invader. That should be refreshing to those of you who struggle with anxiety the most. Some of you are well aware of your struggle and you hate it. And you blame yourself, knowing that anxiety isn't good for the soul or the body either. But knowing that worry comes from the outside should liberate you, because worry is not your fault. Labeling worry as an unwelcome invader is part of a process that will enable you to overcome it. And knowing that can help people who are close with others who struggle with worry too. Simply telling your loved ones not to worry may be inhibiting, because left alone, it sounds like there is an internal switch that they should flick off. If only it were that easy. But what if we could help them not only to identify that they're under attack, but equip them to take a stand? And if we could, what kind of shield would we give them? The peace of God has come to protect us from anxiety, and we can access that by praying. Paul doesn't tell us what to pray. We can assume that we should pray for the thing that's troubling us. But that doesn't mean that peace will come from the expectation that God will answer it however we might expect. It just so happens that some of the pillars of the Christian faith, like Paul himself, asked God to do things that God did not do. So if prayer isn't guaranteed to give us the solution we hope for, how could it give us the peace we need? Paul isn't putting forward any kind of prayer. He is inviting us to ask God for our needs in a special way. Prayer and petition in every situation with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is important because it forces us to look backward. Backward on the life that we may not have chosen when we were 10, 20, 30, 40, or 50. It may be a life full of disappointments and setbacks. But even in the midst of all that, when we look back and see God provided through answered prayers and even through unanswered prayers, we can have a positive outlook toward the future, knowing He is with us, embracing us until the ghosts go away. And our hearts can be opened to the peace He is so eager to set up as a guard. What are some ways that God has turned an unanswered prayer into something meaningful and good that you can look back upon with gratefulness? For over half my adult life, I was single, and at times, that wasn't a lot of fun. People who don't have family to isolate with now know that it's a lot harder to find someone to blame when you're living by yourself. But selfishly, I was able to do some fun things like travel all over the U.S. on a nickel and dime that I wouldn't have been able to do otherwise. And more importantly, God was able to use the extra time I had to develop me more as a person and to help me help others. And what are some ways that God has met your needs in surprising ways? Many years ago, I wrote a $50 check to support a friend in ministry, only to find out a couple hours later that I didn't have that money in my account. My payday was a week away. But later that day, I stopped by my aunt's home, where she handed me a belated graduation gift that had a $50 check in it. Remembering what God has done and how He has used disappointments can give us hope for tomorrow, no matter what the outcome. Petitioning God with a positive mindset enables us to rest on His strength no matter the result. Is it possible that praying for a better future with thanksgiving can change our perspective when we encounter setbacks? Could even an unanswered prayer be a seed that blossoms into something wonderful? How might the anticipation that God will in some way act encourage us to take risks and live more boldly? I wonder if these difficult days ahead could be some of the most positive days you've ever had because of a bright inner life that is ready for an adventure with God.